This is LBC London News.
Welcome back. 1:23 on LBC London News. Let's go abroad now. And Donald Trump seems to be walking back from his claim that Barack Obama is the founder of ISIS. He's tweeted this morning that his comment, repeated numerous times over the past few days, was sarcasm. That's been misinterpreted by the American media. Joining me now live from Washington, our US correspondent, Simon Mark. Simon, is he serious?
Hello, Andre. Well, I've got even bigger news for you now, because just within the last few minutes, the transcript of a television interview that he's given to a Christian broadcasting organization has been put out, in which Donald Trump concedes, "I'm not perfect." So there's some headline news for you. "I'm not perfect, and I think I'm less perfect than some people," he says in that interview with a religious broadcasting organization. This is an extraordinary tweet that Donald Trump put out earlier today. You know, he's been saying all week, like a mantra, that Barack Obama was the founder of ISIS, that Hillary Clinton was the co-founder of ISIS. Now, suddenly this morning, he appears to be walking it back in a tweet in which he has excoriated one network, particularly CNN. He says that CNN reports so seriously that I call President Obama the founder of ISIS. And then in block capitals, the tweet reads, "They don't get sarcasm? Question mark." I mean, the idea that at this point Donald Trump can really walk these comments back, given that he has said them again and again and again and again over the course of the last several days, seems absolutely extraordinary. Just take a listen.
"Our government isn't giving us good protection. Our government has unleashed ISIS. I call President Obama and Hillary Clinton the founders of ISIS. They're the founders. You know, if you're on a sports team, most valuable player, MVP, you get the MVP award. ISIS will hand her the most valuable player award."
I mean, that was Donald Trump speaking just yesterday, and he said it again and again and again, and he has not adopted a sarcastic tone of voice when he has been saying it. So this is another example, the week ending yet again, with Donald Trump and his team essentially trying to tell people that they haven't heard what they think they've heard. And there is no evidence to suggest that that strategy is working. The New Yorker magazine has just published its fresh edition, a cover cartoon showing Donald Trump's hair collapsing during what it refers to as Trump's rainy day, as a rainstorm pours down on him on a New York street. Evidence, they argue, of the collapsing campaign that now surrounds it. Another tweet that he's put out within the last few minutes, he writes, "I love watching these poor, pathetic people, bracket pundits, on television, working so hard and so seriously to try and figure me out. They can't." Well, perhaps he is having fun watching the pundits try to figure him out, but imagine being the electorate trying to figure him out, Andre.
Wow. I don't know where to start once again. I salute you for being in Washington and dealing with this every day. Just tell me, with Mr. Trump right now, there must be fears over his mental health now. Is it the pressure that's causing him to react like this?
I think that is a really now serious and viable question to be asking. I mean, if you look, just anybody that wants to hop onto his Twitter account and see the things that he's saying on Twitter, take a look at some of the comments that he's made, not just over the last couple of days, but over the last 2 weeks, where consistently, day after day after day, self-inflicted wounds are creating enormous problems for his campaign, collapsing opinion polls. The New York Times reporting today that Donald Trump and other Republican leaders are now publicly acknowledging the scale of the mountain that he has to climb between now and November, with Donald Trump expressing great disappointment that in a key battleground state like Pennsylvania, Hillary Clinton is now 11 points clear of him in the opinion polls. Utah, a state that the Republicans can normally take for granted, suddenly in play. Georgia, suddenly in play, with the Democrats having an opportunity opportunity to win it this November. So he is beginning now publicly to acknowledge the scale of the problem that he's got. That's new. But also new over the last couple of weeks is, I think, undeniable evidence that the stress of all of this is getting to him. And it's definitely getting to people around him. It's also creating ongoing strain and division within the Republican Party. We've seen far more of that evident this week, including a letter by 50 top Republican national security officials and former national security officials saying that they believe that if elected, Donald Trump would be the most reckless president in American history. That's Republicans talking. And here's another Republican talking. Her name is Senator Susan Collins of Maine. She's a highly respected Republican senator up on Capitol Hill. She is in many ways the voice of the Republican Party's conscience. And she announced this week that she cannot support Donald Trump this November. Here's what she had to say on the public television network PBS.
I kept hoping that Donald Trump, once he won the primary, would change. I hoped that we would see a new Donald Trump, one who put forth thoughtful policy positions, stopped denigrating people, and had a more positive vision for America. Regrettably, I have concluded that there is not going to be a new Donald Trump, that he's incapable of saying he's sorry, of changing, of learning, of growing.
That's Susan Collins, the Republican senator from Maine. You can hear more of that interview on my All Singing, All Dancing podcast, The Race for the White House. We've just uploaded the latest episode, and you can find it free on LBC's website, lbc.co.uk. What's so interesting about that is that, you know, she's clearly given this an enormous amount of thought. And if you listen to that clip or to the extended interview, you'll hear that she's genuinely anguished about the decision that she's had to make. She doesn't say that she's going to go off and vote for Hillary Clinton. She's unclear who she's going to back, if anyone, in the presidential election this November. She just knows it is not going to be Donald Trump. And all of this adds up to a week that Hillary Clinton will score as a win, despite the fact that she too has been beleaguered with some difficulties this week, not least the latest release of emails by the State Department indicating that there were at least attempts at influence peddling underway while she was Secretary of State by some prominent and generous funders of the Clinton Foundation. Also, Democrats are bracing themselves for the next few days. Yesterday, up on Capitol Hill, one top Democrat described the hacking attack on the party's computer servers as an electronic Watergate. That's pretty dramatic language to be using, and they are definitely bracing themselves for a further dump of documents, presumably by the WikiLeaks organization or perhaps another organization that traffics in these hacked emails, and they are very fearful about what some of their internal communications that may be leaked may show. So, you know, the next few days could still be very interesting in a presidential race with lots of twists and turns ahead.
Fantastic work. That's LBC London News' US correspondent Simon Marks, live from Washington. And don't forget to subscribe to his podcast. As he mentioned, the latest edition is out now. It's called The Race for the White House. It's free and available at lbc.co.uk.